The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
I think it's safe to say that besides the economy, the Obama administration will be judged by whether or not it met its goals in Afghanistan. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree with that.
Yeah. And while the main goal is defeating al-Qaeda, according to President Obama,
right.
The other goal is to create a self-sustaining democracy government,
independence,
exactly, in Afghanistan, stable, that will deny a safe haven,
correct,
for terrorists like al-Qaeda. So the question is, how do we evaluate the elections on Saturday? A parliamentary election, as Glenn Cowan at the top of the hour suggested, this is an off-year election. You get higher turnout during a presidential election,
yes,
like we do in the United States, than you do in an off-year election. But the death toll from the voting on Saturday, more than 20 people kidnapped, bodies still being found, and charges of fraud widespread. 11 million people eligible to vote in the elections on Saturday. Only about 4 million showed up at the polls. How do we evaluate all this? Christine Fair, professor at Georgetown University's Security Studies Program. Welcome back to the program, Christine.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And Glenn Cowan, Chief of Mission for Democracy International, served as an election monitor in Afghanistan, joining us from the country. From Kabul, Glenn?
I am in Kabul, yes.
All right. You gave us some initially sort of positive assessments of, yes, turnout is down from the presidential election, but if it's as close as it seems to be, that's a positive. Let me put that to Christine Fair before I come back to you, Glenn. All right, Christine, what do you think? Is this a positive result?
Well, look, I think it really depends on your optic. If you're looking at this trajectory of Afghanistan developing democratic institutions and practices, sure. But you know, I look at this from the optic of someone who works on insurgency and counterinsurgency. And I think this is probably not the outcome that some people were hoping were going to come from this. In this. Last year when I was there as an election monitor for the presidential elections, I did the security assessment for the National Democratic Institute. And there were a number of very basic security arrangements, which we had certainly suggested they undertake as well as others. And in terms of the security arrangements, things were actually worse in this election than in the previous election. And when you're thinking about, again, the entire counterinsurgency strategy that Obama's mapped out, they're going to want to see Afghanistan being seen as taking incremental steps, not necessarily from the optic of Afghanistan as a relatively newly constructed democratic state, but one within the larger context of dealing with issues of reconciliation and reintegration with the Taliban, trying to have an alternative center of gravity that can put some check on Karzai, that can bring legitimacy to these larger processes. Again, another one that comes to mind is dealing with Pakistan. So I don't personally think that from the stuff I study that this election was ever going to have a positive role at all. But what's pretty clear to me looking at the outcome of this election is that was a serious cluster of issues that the administration was looking at. And predictably, I don't really see any positive movement, not to mention the fact, and Glenn will talk about this, we're not going to know the results of this election for months because of the single non-transferable vote system, the large numbers of candidates for any given one seat. So in some sense, it's very difficult for me to see from the security optic too many positives coming out of this process.
All right, Christine Fair of Georgetown University. All right, Glenn, so Christine reminds us that the whole process is actually just beginning because, you know, this is going to be evaluated not simply on who showed up on Saturday, but how the votes are counted in the weeks as we go forward. How's that looking at this point?
Well, I don't have to remind Christine that in last year's presidential election, a million votes were ruled as ineligible by the Elections Complaints Commission. So if this election takes place and the counting is done in a manner that doesn't lead to discoveries of that type of wholesale fraud, then you'd have to look at this election as an improvement. I think it's also important to bear in mind what the consequences would be if this election is a failure. If this process to reelect the lower house of the parliament here is viewed to be completely dishonest and corrupt, then whatever check existed on presidential and executive power loses all of its credibility. The current parliament has, in fact, acted to check executive powers, voted against budget amendments, has voted against cabinet choices, has voted against, in fact, the very presidential decree under which this election is taking place. And I think a lot of Afghans are hoping that this election will be reasonable, the count will be fair, and the eventual tabulation of votes and the complaints of their lodge will be adjudicated successfully, and they can go back to looking to this parliamentary body as a check on executive authority.
That's Glenn Cowan of Democracy International reminding us of the important element of success of this parliamentary election, and that is being a check on President Karzai, who might, ironically, not want this election to be certified as being valid because it will leave him with much more power. Well, Christine Fair, cynics have remarked on a number of occasions that the elections in Afghanistan are often more for show in the United States to suggest that it's what looks like democracy is taking place there. This may be another example of that. Put the cynicism aside for a moment. What evidence should we look for that says a growing trend of democratic institutions where people who went to the polls today are going to feel like they're not demoralized and will go back to the polls the next time around? What evidence is there that that's growing from the grassroots up?
Well, I think actually Glenn made the best case for this. I mean, Glenn is the democracy expert, the insurgency person. And I think the things that Glenn said were actually spot on. The comments he made before you actually rolled up the segment that, in general, we would have expected the turnout to be low, and I think that it's also reasonable to benchmark it relative to the dramatic industrial strength fraud that we saw last year with the presidential election. But again, going back to some of the issues that from a security optic, which is where I typically gaze through Afghanistan, there are some pretty important issues that are on the table right now, like reconciliation and reintegration. And for those to appear to even be anything other than a Karzai strategy to save his own tail,
right,
he's going to need the institution that Glenn laid out. So there certainly are things on the table at stake with this parliament. And dealing with reintegration, reconciliation with the Taliban, and normalization of relations with Pakistan, which supports the Taliban, those are going to be the kind of issues that a reasonably independent institution relative to Karzai are going to be really important to adjudicate fairly.
And improving that credibility is really going to be the metric where we judge these elections as well as all the other ones. Christine Fair, professor at Georgetown University, and Glenn Cowan in Kabul, chief of mission for Democracy International. Thanks so much for helping us there.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.